is West Southwest Brief on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. One powerful way to help reduce racism in America is by simply having a conversation with someone different than ourselves. Race relations scholar Beverly Tatum is convinced of that.
Engagement with that other person, hearing that other person's story, seeing how their humanity is just like yours. And that is something that happens through dialogue. So when I talk about dialogue, I talk about it not as something to do just, you know, because it's nice to have substantive conversations, but because those conversations lead to relationships. Relationships lead to caring about another person. Caring about another person leads to taking action. And it's the action that is ultimately what brings about change.
Tatum was in Kalamazoo recently at the invitation of the Kalamazoo Community Foundation as part of its ongoing racial healing work. Afterwards, WMUK caught up with Tatum by phone. She's the author of the book, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria and Other Conversations About Race? It's being re-released after 20 years. She's the former longtime president of Spelman College, an historically black women's college in Atlanta. Welcome to the program, Dr. Tatum.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you.
Let's talk about the formation of views regarding race. How young does this start?
Even babies, researchers have noted, will pay attention to faces that are different than their own in a way that indicates that they're noticing a difference between unfamiliar faces and familiar faces. But that doesn't mean they have racial attitudes. Attitude development, of course, is something that develops over a lifetime, and young children pick up the attitudes of the adults around them. But sometimes adults are conveying attitudes without even their own adult awareness. For example, when a young child notices someone's skin color and comments on it, a parent might be responding to that simply with, shh, as in, don't talk about that, or it's rude to point, or it's, you know, don't stare. And not even assuming in that interaction that they've conveyed anything negative, but perhaps what they're conveying to that child is that there's something wrong with someone who looks different than they do.
In your book, you talk about in K-12 education, there's a lot of self-segregation and other types of overt segregation that tends to go on. So it's hard to have conversations about this issue.
One thing we know in today's society, in the year 2019, public education is very racially segregated. Many people think, oh, we solved that problem with Brown versus Board of Education back in the 50s. But in fact, our public schools had a period of desegregation in the 70s, maybe early 80s. But over the last 20 or 30 years, there's been a reversal of that trend. And so many of the places where schools had started to desegregate are now as segregated as before. And the strategies that we were using to desegregate schools, crosstown busing, for example, or magnet programs in diverse communities that hopefully would attract white students or a diverse assortment of students, many of those programs have been dismantled as a result of court rulings and other policy decisions that local communities have made. So as a consequence, because neighborhoods remain pretty much racially segregated across the nation, schools in those neighborhoods are also segregated. That means that young people don't have, unless they live in a very diverse community and those communities are relatively few and far between, most young people are going into schools where their racial group membership tends to be the majority. White kids are going to white schools largely. Black and brown kids are going to schools where black and brown children are in the majority. And that in itself creates lack of opportunity to really get to know people whose racial group is different from your own. That said, there are some other things that are part of this problem, and that has to do with education and curriculum and how teachers, most of whom in today's schools, most of our teachers are white, many of them women, and those white women typically have grown up in largely white communities, and so their own life experience is not always the same as the kids that they are teaching. And they often will say that they, too, struggle with how to talk about issues of race. If the teacher's uncomfortable, it's likely that the classroom is not going to have the kind of learning experience that will create the capacity to have these conversations among the young children.
And the next great opportunity that you feel that individuals could have regarding race in their educational career is by the time they get to college. Yet there's a problem inherent in that. There was an interview you gave inside higher education in 2017, and you were talking about, because of this persistent school segregation, that even though college is a great place where they can have this conversation and different races can get to know each other, that's hard to happen if schools aren't intentional in making that happen.
Yes. So one of the things we know is that colleges and universities today are more diverse than ever before. Even a school like Harvard University has reported that now more than half of its class is made up of students of color in the incoming class, you know, freshman class. So we know that these learning environments are more diverse than they were 20 years ago, but students are still coming to them from segregated schools, which means that they don't have much practice at connecting across lines of difference. And just because you live in the same residence hall or are sitting in the same classroom with students who look different from you doesn't necessarily mean you're getting to know them, but it requires intentionality. And one of the things that some colleges and universities are doing is creating opportunities for kids to have structured opportunity to dialogue, to talk about some of the life experiences that may not be shared across lines of difference, to talk about issues of social justice, for example, to talk about the isms, whether that's racism or anti-Semitism or heterosexism, to engage in substantive conversations about which there may be differences of opinion and certainly different life experiences, but to do that in a way that allows for true connection and hopefully empathy.
Visit WMUK.org for the longer version of this interview with race relations expert and former Spelman College president, Beverly Tatum, who spoke in Kalamazoo recently. You can also hear it through our WMUK app. For West Southwest Brief, I'm Earlene McMichael.